Time to welcome in Parks Stevenson. Parks Stevenson heads up the USS Kidd Museum downtown on the riverfront. Parks, welcome. How are you, sir?
Thank you. Doing well now.
Yep. It's doing well, because I mean, it's, you know, with the Kidd has made it to its destination, so I'm sure that was a big exhale right there. It's before we even get started, with all the work that needed to be done, how nerve-wracking was it to put that thing out on the water?
It wasn't that nerve-wracking to put it out on the water. It was nerve-wracking on whether we would be able to get it out onto the water. The river needs to be about 35 feet to freely float the ship out of her cradle, is what we call it.
Okay.
And into the deeper channel to be towed to a shipyard. We didn't get that this year, as you know. We had a drought year last year, mm-hmm. and was looking to do the same this year. So we had to figure out how to help the ship out, since Mother Nature wasn't going to cooperate.
How did we do that? I mean, not to get too technical, I don't want to lose everybody, but like, how did we pull that off?
Well, the shipyard that we contracted, the Thomas C. Marine Constructors in Houma, Louisiana, mm-hmm. once they were put under contract, they drew together a team, a salvage team, TNT Salvage, and Crosby Tugs, and of course our own McKinney Salvage here in Baton Rouge. We got together under the watchful eyes of the Coast Guard, mm-hmm. and worked out a plan to hit the highest amount of water we got, which was only 31 feet, a little bit over that, and we were able to work her out of the cradle, but we still had shallow water behind us that had to be dealt with, and for that, we had to have divers go under and shave 4 feet off of her rudder.
Whoa. Okay. You get out on the water. It took a good minute to get downriver.
Yes, we... originally, we took the ship out of the cradle. We still had to do some final preps for safety reasons and for the Coast Guard to do their final inspections. Mm-hmm. We floated her backwards downstream a little ways to McKinney's salvage dock, where those last-minute preparations were performed. And then we were supposed to be there for about 5 days to 10 days to get all this done, but that there was a front that came through, and it provided a brief window of weather opportunity in the Gulf where the seas were calm enough that we hurriedly got her out after just 3 days.
Okay.
And they Crosby Tugs took over at that point. They took the ship all the way down river past New Orleans about 10 o'clock that night, mm-hmm. Into the Gulf, so down the river in 1 day, across the Gulf another day. They did a little holding pattern outside the Houma Navigation Canal until sunup on the next day, and then straight up the Houma Navigational Canal into Houma.
Oh, wow. Okay. And with the tugs, I know this is going to sound like a stupid question, but was the Kidd just floating, or do the engines get fired up on this thing?
No, the engines...
Long since gone.
When the U.S. Navy gave the ship to the state of Louisiana back in 1982, we part of the conditions of that gift was we were not to operate the engines or the weapons or the galley.
Or the galley?
Yeah.
Weird.
It may be because of steam generation. You know, this is a steam-powered plant.
Okay.
There are other museum ships that have diesel engines, and mm-hmm. they've gotten them working again. And sometimes you'll see, like, LST-325 will come down the Mississippi River past us on her diesel engines. But a steam power plant, it hasn't operated in over 60 years.
Okay, so you can't operate the engines, the galley, or the weapons. So on the way back up, we can't take some shots at Donaldsonville or anything?
The ship's weapons. Now, if you want to use your own on board, that's true. Why is it always Donaldsonville?
I don't know. You're not the first one
to mention this.
I'm glad to hear that. Solidarity right there. Watch your back, Donaldsonville. While it's down there, all right, it has reached its destination. What's being done?
So last year, the state authorized some money that makes this all happen, some critical hull repair. Over the last few years, 40 years of going up and down in the cradle and hitting the cradle has started to punch individual holes through the ship's hull. She's actually in really good condition. Out of the water half the year and fresh water the other half of the year, mm-hmm. the hull's in really good condition. She's not some rusty old leaky boat. But she does have these touch points where she's impacted the cradle and they're pushing through, and now we're flooding inside. We've got pumps running all the time. That's going to be fixed.
Okay, so pumps running all the time is probably the answer to my next question. This might be another oversimplified question, But if there's critical hull repair, how does it float?
We took some mitigation steps. We have, number one, we have pumps. And we have several layers of pumps. We've got our primary pumps. We've got some in reserve and some in reserve.
Gotcha.
The Coast Guard made sure that we had divers go underneath in zero visibility because you can't see anything in the Mississippi River.
The big muddy.
They're under there feeling with their hands where these holes are and putting a compound called splash zone, which applies a temporary patch. It doesn't actually fully seal it, but it cuts down the water inflow. It makes it so that the pumps can handle it.
I have this horrible vision of that Flex Seal commercial.
I know. Everybody's got that. And people say, well, why didn't you fix it while she was high and dry here? Well, number one, you're not going to do shipyard work on a unstable riverbed that belongs to the Army Corps of Engineers, right. The jurisdictions, the OSHA requirements, all like that. Plus, the ship is sitting on the trouble spots. It's the cradle that, that damages her. So when she's out of the water, she's sitting on those spots. We can't get to them.
Right.
And you can't get to them from the inside because they're pushing up. Every patch that we try to apply on the inside has been pried upward by that downward, you know, that pull of gravity, the ship settling onto the cradle.
Yeah, it's bouncing, basically. Slow bouncing, I guess, would be a decent way to describe it.
Yes.
We're talking with Parks Stevenson from the USS Kidd Museum. So the critical hull repair, is that all that's being done? Is that all y'all need?
No, we have some other projects here. We're going to return more of the ship to her 1945 configuration. We're the only destroyer in the world in World War II configuration. So we're about 90-some-odd percent there, mm-hmm. and we want to take it a little bit farther. She's going to be sandblasted and repainted.
Okay.
She's going to come back in her 1944 Dazzle camouflage scheme. So when she comes back, she's going to look completely different than when she left. And she's going to be freshened up all the way around. Like I said, I have a laundry list of projects to be done. This is a once-in-a-generation overhaul period.
Mm-hmm.
She's never going to go to a shipyard again in my lifetime. So we're going to try and raise all the money what we can to not only add to the contract work that the state paid for that hull repair, but additional work to just continue to make her a time capsule so that when you come out to the Kidd, you're going to step back into World War II. It's going to be like the crew just left, and you just, you know, you're looking at the rooms that they just left, the papers they left out, everything. That's what we're going for.
Going to add to the museum aura of it, really.
Yes.
Absolutely. How long till it's back?
We actually have to wait for the river to rise again to get her back into the cradle. So we're expecting the spring of 2025 when she comes back. Now, the work may not take that long in the shipyard.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to have to look at what to do when the shipyard's done with us, but we can't come back to Baton Rouge. Maybe go to New Orleans, maybe. Maybe park outside the World War II Museum and give the World War II Museum a taste of its own medicine.
Okay. I mean, well, it's amazing. The World War II Museum, it's a monolith down there. That thing
is
huge.
Oh, it's,
and doing glorious work, obviously. Things we all need to be exposed to and expose our children to. But, yeah, is that a likelihood right now?
It's a possibility.
Okay.
We don't know the full shipyard schedule yet because, mm-hmm. like I said, if we raise more money, we're going to give the shipyard more work. But once that starts to firm up, we'll look to see what time we have left and try to put something in place.
The riverfront looks naked. Is there anything we could do about that in the meanwhile? Is there any kind of like, I don't know how to put this. Is there anything that can replace the Kidd that, like, I don't know if they do tours or whatever, but is it just what we're looking at now is what we're going to be looking at for a year?
Well, the cradle itself was designed specifically for the Kidd, and the mm-hmm. cradle needs refurbishment too.
Okay.
You know, we've got 40 years of lessons learned. This was a unique device that allows this. Again, we're the only museum ship in the world that you could see fully out of the water and fully in the water. Yes. And so when they designed this thing in 1982, it was unique, and they did a pretty good job. But 40 years later, we've got some lessons learned on it. So refurbishment on the cradle. If you know a good 3D printer, I'd like to put a 1-to-1 scale model of the Kidd out there to remind people because
That would be, well, I tell you what, I mean, 4th of July is going to look weird.
It is, but the museum building itself is still open, and that's one thing I really want to emphasize.
I'm glad you brought that up. I wanted to make sure we got to that before we got you out of here.
Mm-hmm.
The museum is still open.
Yes, and the museum has always served as a support unit for the ship. Now she's lost her star attraction, so we've got plans in place to add new exhibits to the museum, some permanent exhibits, some more walkthrough exhibits. We've put in a new Pirates exhibit last year to explain the pirate legacy behind Kidd, why she's known as Pirate of the Pacific, mm-hmm. and we want to expand on that. So we want to make the museum building itself an attraction of its own. I'm even got a, in my wildest dreams right now, I'm working with people from Celtic Studios, and of course I have an entertainment background myself. I'd like to put an immersive theater in the museum that puts you on Let's the go. Ship during the war, in the battle. I don't know if it's going to be mixed reality with goggles or like a curved LED screen that puts you in the environment, but downtown Baton Rouge doesn't have anything like that.
Right.
And I'd like to... We really want to help downtown Baton Rouge develop as a tourist destination, and we can do that as a premier attraction.
Where can folks go if they want to help out, if they want to learn more? Is there y'all's website?
We have a website, www.usskidd.com. And you can also, if you're local, obviously you can come down and visit.
Come
like
on
us,
down.
Like I said, we're open. We've reduced our prices, $5 flat fee. Or you can call the museum at 225-342-1942.
He is Parks Stevenson from the USS Kidd Museum. Yeah, the main attraction's not there, but it's more important now than ever that we still continue to show our support because it is a main attraction. Parks, I appreciate the time.
Thank you very much.